Blog Talk Radio.
And now, here's your host, William Powell, the king of DC media.
Good evening, dear listeners. Tonight, my guest is Ben Lowe, who plays Bob Younger, a gunfighter who rode with Jesse James on The American West, which airs Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on AMC. You can find him on Facebook at handle Benjamin Lowe. That's Benjamin, L-O-E-H. Or you can find him on imdb.com. So I see he's on the line, so let me go ahead and just bring him right on in.
William, how you doing?
Good evening, Ben.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Okay, I'm going to plunge right in. So I know that The American West was filmed in Utah. So how is that for a location?
Oh, Utah was beautiful. It was unexpectedly beautiful. It's one of the states where I never really thought about going to until this occurred. And I actually didn't know I was going to Utah until about 4 days before we left. So it was all kind of spur of the moment. And, you know, luckily I had an open schedule for the filming. So it was just, where's my ticket? Get on plane and go. And Utah itself was absolutely gorgeous. We were outside of Park City, Utah, which is more north. So it was very mountainous. It wasn't like the arid desert kind of Utah, which is down south. But we were up north, and it was gorgeous.
Nice, nice. Good, so where did they put you up?
We stayed at, oh, man, what was the name of that hotel? It was a hotel, but it was done by Doubletree. Doubletree had bought the hotel out. The Yarrow was where we stayed. The Yarrow by Doubletree. Very nice hotel. Top-of-the-line service all down the line. It was great. It was great. We stayed out there for a couple weeks and got a chance to hang out in town, down in Park City down there in the downtown area. They call it Main Street. And hit the restaurants, hit the bars, had a good time. Hit the pool at the hotel after the shoots. So it was great. We had some hot days. So hot days, sweaty days. We're beating each other up. So it was nice to have the pool and the jacuzzi go to after the shoot was up.
So now, what kind of research did you do to play Bob Younger?
The research for Bob Younger, unfortunately, there wasn't very much I could find. I did some online research. I hit some of the local libraries in Northern Virginia here. There was more info on Bob Younger and Cole Younger were brothers that were part of Jesse James' gang. So there
right.
was much more information available on Jesse James, Frank James, as the two leaders of the gang. And so basically we delved into, you know, Jesse James, Frank James, and found the Youngers through searching for those guys. And I actually have a neighbor of mine that's from Missouri, which is where all this kind of takes place historically.
Right.
So he gave me a little bit of input on, you know, the way they talked to Missouri and how they did things and stuff like that. So he was a good resource for me.
Oh, nice. I keep thinking of that film back in 1980. I was a young man, well, a teenager actually, The Long Riders, and that was about Jesse James. That was quite a movie back then.
Yeah, I like all those old Westerns. They're all pretty neat to watch, and I always love the backdrops. The backdrops are always wonderful, and Utah provided that for this particular shoot. You know, all that southwestern U.S. kind of backdrop where the gunslingers are doing their thing, but you got the mountains in the background and everything. All that's definitely a positive image in my head as far as watching movies.
Oh, nice, nice. All right. So did they teach you how to shoot and ride, or did you already know?
As far as the shooting side of things goes, I've grown up with guns in our family for years, so the shooting wasn't a big issue. The riding, I've ridden periodically over my life. Now, for this shoot, when I got casted, I told them that I was probably in between like a beginner and intermediate, just because it had been a couple of years since I had ridden. And so they signed me up because I guess I had the knowledge to do it. and I had a couple friends. I live and work on a horse farm, so being around horses isn't really an uncomfortable position for me. So I'm around horses all the time, and I have a couple friends that train horses and are professional riders themselves, so I got some tips and pointers from them. And then the production provided some training as well for the horse riding. So all around, it was pretty good. We had the horses perform wonderfully, except for one day on the shoot where my horse was giving me a little bit of trouble. But they're horses. What are you going to do? You know, they weigh half a ton.
Yeah,
so.
Horses and kids.
But it was a long day for that shoot, and my horse had the most action that day. So at one point, you know, a couple hours in, he just kind of gave up on me. But we worked it. You know, it's film. We can work around it.
Nice. So now I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. If you grew up in the same circumstances as Bob Younger, do you think you might be an outlaw?
It was an odd time back then, especially in that area of the country as well. Yeah, I think I would. You know, it's kind of an easy way to get money if you have the knowledge to do the things that they did. You know, I guess they didn't have the FBI tracking and stuff that they have nowadays. I guess until the Pinkertons come in. Pinkertons show up later on in the series here. But but at the time, I mean, these guys, they kind of felt disillusioned this post-Civil War period. And some felt that this was one of the only ways to provide for their families. And, you know, I mean, break it down to a situation like that where it's a survival situation. And, you know, you somewhat sympathize with these guys at certain times. Now, Jesse James himself, one thing that's touched on the AMC website is did he have PTSD from his experiences in the Civil War, which is touched on, I believe, episodes 1 and 2. And that's always kind of an interesting subject where we're taking these mental issues that affect us nowadays that we have more information on, you know, studying brains and everything, and kind of looking back into history and seeing if these historical figures that were, you know, kind of crazy and, you know, off the wall, if they suffered from these same mental issues that we suffer from nowadays, where we actually have a name for it rather than back then where they just didn't know he was just some crazy guy. You know, so that's an interesting subject to touch on, and a good article on the AMC website that kind of focuses on that, especially now with, you know, with all the action going on where soldiers coming back with PTSD and you know, mental issues in the country right now.
Yeah. So how has the role changed your career?
It's been pretty good. I'm not like a starring role in the show. I'm more of a supporting character, which is why I didn't know I was going to Utah. I thought that was just all the lead roles only were going out there. But apparently I was more of a supporting character than I thought I was. And, you know, that's why we went out there. And just the experience is wonderful. It's a kind of a high profile show. It's on AMC, which is a good network. And the images from it have been wonderful as far as the wardrobe, the makeup. The whole operation was just top notch, you know, A+ from the crew, from the cast. Everybody worked really hard. And with Robert Redford's name attached to it, it's pretty high profile. And then some of the narrators involved in the show also make it somewhat high profile. And it has changed my career. I've been getting, you know, better parts lately and offers for better roles and stuff. So I've been doing some lead roles and some indie flicks and everything that's kind of been in production now and post-production and even some that are in pre-production. I actually had some autograph requests, which is a weird thing. That's kind of an odd thing for an actor is his first couple autograph requests. So, you know, that's always one reason. I guess I need more pictures printed out.
Awesome, man. That's great. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, Dan, I think we got the switchboard is just lighting up, man. So we got a call here from 622. So 622, I'm going to, when I say you're on the air, just come on, introduce yourself and ask a question. All right, 622. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Ben, this is Charles. I was just wondering about the wardrobe and how hot it was during your production out there.
Oh, how hot it was?
Yeah.
It was pretty hot. We had some hot days and in Utah. Well, we filmed for a couple of weeks in West Virginia as well, and then before taking production out to Utah, there were some hot days, and that wardrobe was pretty unforgiving at times. I felt bad for the wardrobe staff just because, you know, you got a bunch of guys. It was a dude-heavy show, so you got a bunch of guys coming up off the set just kind of throwing a bunch of sweaty, wet clothes at them. Luckily, we had plenty of backup. But the wardrobe for these historical figures, it's all very thick, you know, wool and stuff like that. They look really cool, but yeah, they were pretty hot to film.
So, is this the type of role that you'd like to continue doing, like Western type roles, or do you have any preference?
I don't have a preference. I kind of run the gamut. I do the more intense roles pretty good, I've learned, over the past 2 years doing this full-time. So just any roles that are kind of more intense. The criminal roles are always fun to play, the bad guy roles. It's always fun to play the bad guy because you just get to go around like a badass all day and, you know, do the things that these guys do. I would definitely be interested in doing a Western again. It was definitely a learning experience, and especially with the horse riding and stuff like that, all that stuff was just a ton of fun. And doing it with the people that I did it with, the whole cast was just very talented up and down the line. And when we were on set, the chemistry was wonderful. And off set, we added to that chemistry by hanging out together, going out to the bars, getting some food and drinks and stuff like that. So definitely, I'd definitely be interested in doing a Western again.
That sounds great, because I also know that you can be a really good detective, too, you know, when we did Paper Pushers.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? You're my partner.
Oh, I'm doing real fine.
Yeah.
I was up on House of Cards yesterday.
Paper Pushers was okay. It was still a short. You know, I still think that we could work a detective crew into a full-length feature. But
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the chemistry. We got good chemistry. It's all about that, and the audience can see that chemistry when they watch whatever it is that's on TV.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty apparent, and you know, that's why you got some movies that on paper look really good, and then for whatever reason just doesn't translate to the theater or the big screen or any screen. And then you got some that kind of you know, slide under the radar as far as promotions and marketing for it, but then they turn out really good. And a lot of that has to do with the chemistry between the actors, the crew, the cast. The director's important. You know, you got these some directors that people just click with, and every time an actor works with that director, it turns out to be magic. So, you know, that chemistry is very important for any film set.
Oh, absolutely. And
nice.
I got it just that I felt really honored and enjoyed the working with you, because I, you know, your professionalism and how much fun we had, and you know, we've worked in the past. It's been great, and I would definitely look forward to working with you again someday.
Definitely, Charles.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a good time. We just sit there and talk nonsense all day. That's fun, man. Then we get down to business when they say action. I mean, that's, it doesn't get any better than that. Sit there and laugh until they say action, then we get to work. So.
That's
I like the way Paper Pushers came out, and yeah, we'll be talking about doing something in the future.
Sure, and I think our Dexter episode is going to be coming out in the next month or two.
Is it?
You know, for Copycat.
Yeah, Copycat Killers.
Yep.
That should be okay. And basically, William, just to give you a background, we first met on Copycat Killers set, where we just kind of had a brief role as a detective duo that was investigating, you know, some crazy guy, and just lots of ad libs and improv involved in what we were doing, and just the way we were bouncing off each other, it just felt really good. And you know, at the end of that shoot, we looked at each other and said, "Hey, we should do this again someday." So fast forward to a couple months later, and we both signed on to do a short as a detective duo, and we rocked that one too. So yeah, definitely. Charles is a good guy in my books.
Best luck to you.
Awesome.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks, Charles.
Thank
Take
you
it
for
easy,
calling,
baby.
Charles. Okay,
pardon me?
So the switchboards are lighting up. They're lighting up, so we have some other people dialing in here. So let's go ahead and get number 495 407. So I'm going to bring you on, and then I'm going to bring you on. Just introduce yourself and ask your question. Okay, so 495-407, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Pretty good. How you doing?
I have a question.
I do have a question. You talked about wardrobe. Can you talk some more about makeup? Because that's quite interesting to me, how you can look one way in one show and one way in another show.
It's very cool how they're able to do that. Especially for this one in particular, just because, well, A, the makeup staff on this show was, again, just top-notch. I can't say enough about the wardrobe and the makeup staff. They really did work on this show. If you've seen the show, you can tell that we all look just dirty as hell. I mean, we're just caked in mud. We're dirty. You know, we've been riding for weeks on the planes and everything else. And that was all due to the makeup staff, Joan Jones and that whole crew, Amy Watford. They did a great job with the makeup. In general, the makeup's pretty interesting from film or project to project, just because some you want to, you know, some they take more on you, others they do less. Luckily, they typically don't do very much for me, which I don't know what that says, but for this one, they take on the dirt. It was an ongoing joke with the cast was we need more dirt. You know, we're not dirty enough.
Oh, wow.
And
that was a note.
Yeah, and this was done by Stephen David Entertainment, and this was my third production with them. And in each one, they have kind of a certain style to them. And during filming, as far as they let the smoke machine to give off a certain vibe, and this was the same thing throughout all of them, where if a character needs to be dirty, they have no problem making that guy dirty. Same thing with they did American Speed, which was on CMT. They were filming that when we were filming out in Utah, and you see some of the guys that filmed on that one. William, you know, Dallas White. Dallas White was in that one. And And you know, you see some of these guys. My buddy Brandon, they caked them. Well, we got the dirt. So this was a racing show, so they got like all the motor oil and grease and everything. So it's funny just to work with Stephen David and that crew and get dirty every day. Every day you're going back to the hotel just banging for a shower.
Nice. Okay, ma'am, do you have another question? Hello? I guess gone. Okay.
Gone, yeah.
We're going to 856-343. I'm going to bring you on the line and just introduce yourself and ask a question when I say that you are on the air. So let me see. Network's kind of slow here, but let me see if we can try this, make sure it works. And here we go. You're on the air.
Hey, Ben.
856.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, it's Jay. How's it going, buddy?
What's going on, Jay? How you doing, bud?
Hey, I just want to know, what made you want to change from a steady...
From a what?
I'm sorry, you got cut off. This. Repeat your question.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. We had a technical...
All right, yeah.
Repeat your question.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What made you change from...
Yeah, I just wanted to know, what made you want to change careers when you had something so stable to go into another career that's really not too stable?
There was a couple of factors involved with kind of diving into this. A lot of people don't know I've been doing film since I was about 16 years old. You know, a project here, a project there, once a year or something like that, just to kind of wet my feet, I guess. And basically... It was really kind of a perfect storm of different events. So I used to be in hotel management. I managed hotels for years, and I worked for a couple of property management companies that kind of just ran me into the ground. It's one of those industries that once they get you on salary, then boom, you know, they're working you. So I went for a couple of years basically working every day, anywhere from 10 to 18 hours a day, every single day. And kind of lost a lot of personal freedom at the time. You know, every moment of my life was spent at the hotel, which I love the hotel business, and not downgrading that. My family's in the travel business, and I got a lot of love for it. But on the flip side, with different property management companies that I worked with at the time, it just left something to be desired, like, you know, putting forth the effort for people that might not particularly appreciate what you're doing, you know what I mean? So there was that, and it seemed like every hotel I switched to was worse than the previous one. And then at the time, my father had cancer, and he passed away, and he was always went along as best as it could, I should say. And so he was always his own boss. And out of the six kids, I'm the youngest, and people always tell me I'm the most like him out of all the six kids. He was always his own boss. And he always seemed to have that personal freedom that a lot of people like to have in life and what I did not have. And so that also had a little something to do with it. And then my brother, he actually got engaged to his now wife, and he did his bachelor party, and we all went up to Atlantic City, and I did pretty good on the blackjack tables, came back with some money and used that as kind of, you know, startup money, and just went with it. Just said, screw it. Came back from Atlantic City, quit the hotel, kind of did them a little bit dirty because I basically wrote them a note that says, at the end of this shift, I'm out. And but it was the worst. But then again, it was the worst property management company I'd ever worked for. So, you know, there was no love lost there. And just kind of broke out on my own and just started doing it. Used that, you know, money from the tables as a little bit of head start money and just started getting it in, man. And, you know, it's the kind of business where if you're going at it half-assed, then nothing's going to happen. You know, you got to kind of dive in and just work it, grind it. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, Ben, let me ask you this. So working in the hotel industry, did customer service skills that you learned on there, did that help you at all in acting?
I think it did. I mean, you know, in that kind of business, you do have to act. I mean, everybody has their bad days and everything, but that hospitality industry, it's something where – that's part of the deal. You know, you have to be nice. You have to be hospitable. I mean, it's right. It's in the name, hospitality. You have to be hospitable. You know, and that's one thing I used to tell my people when I managed and, you know, had employees underneath me, was that was the main thing. Is no matter what happens, we have to be nice to people. And unfortunately, I had some people I had to, you know, get rid of, fire, whatever you got to do, just because they didn't have that attitude. Everybody has their bad days. You know, you're going to have that customer service mentality, that hospitable attitude to succeed in that business. But I think it did. You know, just because you learn how to please people. You learn how to make people happy. The little things. You know, you compliment people, but not just compliment somebody on, hey, you look nice today. No, you even if you don't like the necklace this woman's wearing, but you can tell that she likes the necklace that she's wearing, that's a good compliment. Hey, nice necklace. May not be your style, but you can tell that she likes wearing it. So go ahead and compliment her on it. Just how to make people happy. It's all marketing. Luckily, I come from, a family full of salespeople and stuff like that, so this has been training in my head since I was a little kid as far as marketing and being a salesperson. It does have an acting aspect to it.
Nice.
That's cool.
Awesome. Jay, you had another question?
Well, thanks a lot, Ben. I appreciate it, man. You're an amazing actor. You're really grinding, and I know you're going to be successful.
I really appreciate it, Jay.
All right, bye.
You know, keep up, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, see you.
Fantastic.
Take it easy.
All right. Have a good night. All right, so let's move on to Gangsters. So you're in pre-production with Gangsters, so tell me about your role there.
Hey, William, it's going to be something else, man. This Gangsters thing we got going on, it's really going to be something else. Basically, the hype around it is pretty amazing. I'm getting people making phone calls to me and hit me up on Messenger asking about it. And we're still in pre-production here. We haven't even started filming yet. You know, it's one of these things. I'm one of the lead roles.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm playing Lieutenant Lucas Walker, and I am the lead cop, the lead officer, investigating a group of gangsters and several gangs at that. So we're going to have it's going to be a D.C.-based picture, feature film. It's going to be full-length, based in D.C., filmed in D.C., and it's going to be featuring a lot of D.C. talent. So it's going to be a lot of names that are pretty well-known in this Mid-Atlantic area. We're bringing some New York guys down, getting them involved. We're probably going to go up there for some shoots up in New York as well. But some of the names attached to this are good friends of mine, people that, you know, I've worked with many times over the years, and just real, real good, talented individuals are going to be on this. This is created by Marquis Dixon, and he contacted me. We've been talking for a couple years, and he hit me up about it. He kind of saw what was going on as far as with my several previous roles. We got good momentum going here, and the talent that's involved also has good momentum, so we have high hopes it's going to be really good. Marquis has high standards, so you know, I know him. We hang out now. We talk all the time. He has high standards, and it's going to be really good, man. It's going to be action, gritty. It's going to be fun to film. Like I said, I like those intense roles, and
yeah,
I work a very physical style, so that's kind of what I'm known for in the area, is working that physical style. So I'm really looking forward to it, coming up off the set with some bumps and bruises. You know, it's going to be good, you know.
Nice. Any word on the budget?
No word on the budget quite yet. I'd have to talk to Marquis about that. I know it's going to be a bigger budget than his last one. His last one that he was in, he had the lead role in that called Broken Trust. And I know that he's taking a lot of money from that one and putting it towards this one. And then we're going to get some outside investors and going to work on a good-sized budget for it and just make sure it's special.
Nice. Nice. Is it going to be a SAG project?
I don't know if it's going to be SAG or not. I guess it's going to be non-union, this one is.
Okay.
I'll talk to him about doing the SAG stuff, but I think he wants to keep it non-union for right now. Just to have – I know how he is, and he likes having you know, full say over the production. So, you know, Marquis is a talented guy. He's got a good brain on him. And I trust his vision with this one. And it's going to be good. It's going to be real good.
Yeah, when are they looking at having the auditions?
Let's see here. I think we are in the works of doing a Facebook page. And basically most of the movie has already been cast just off of people that we know through the industry that we specifically contacted. Marquis did. Marquis specifically contacted these folks. And it's going to be a bunch of cool dudes and hot chicks, man. It's that's the basis. It's the basis for any good gangster movie, you know.
Man,
so we got
what's up.
We got some great names attached to it, and like I said, we're still in pre-production, and I think that he's still trying to figure out roles everybody's playing and what we're doing. I believe that there's going to be some auditions for maybe some supporting characters and stuff like that, but all the leads right now, to my knowledge, have been cast.
Awesome. Awesome, man. That's great. So let's talk about musician Red Parker. He's working with you on a zombie movie. What's the deal on that one?
Yeah, that's my buddy Rhett, man. I grew up with Rhett. known him for about 30 years, and he does mostly the music side of things, and he actually manages a bunch of models and stuff like that under his line, World Class Vandals. And so Rhett came to me a few weeks back with a part of a script that he has written and a pretty good idea. And he has the ability to, through the things that he's done in the modeling world and the music world, where he does have access to some bigger names for the project. And this is going to be a zombie movie. And right now we're working on finding a special effects supervisor for the movie and some special effects people for it. And we want to make this one pretty brutal. Good little horror zombie movie, but with some comedy attached to it. And and this one is also going to be pretty good. We're having a good time talking about it. And like I said, I've known Rhett for 30 years. Rhett's a smart guy. He's a diabolical genius. And he's going to put 100% of the effort into getting the script done and getting the funding and everything to put out some quality work, man.
Man, that's a high compliment. A diabolical genius. I like that.
He's a diabolical genius. I'll tell him that to his face.
I'm gonna ask Rhett's another
man,
hypothetical.
And that's all. You know, and with Rhett, the cool thing is that like I said, we go so far back. We're talking going back towards elementary school, high school, up in Northern Virginia, Falls Church, Alexandria area, Bailey's Crossroads. So it's fun working with people that you've known for so long, and hopefully we're going to be getting Rhett on the soundtrack. We got some musician friends that we all went to high school with as well. Get them on the soundtrack.
Oh,
as well.
Nice!
And have it kind of a family affair with some of the most talented people from our particular neighborhood growing up, because you know, we all see kind of what each other is doing. I mean, I don't know if Rana's going to get on it, but Rana Mansour, she's a fantastic singer. She's doing her thing. We all went to high school together. Maybe she might get on it. I don't know. She's pretty conservative, so I don't know if she would want to get on the bloody zombie movie thing. But Rana's talented in what she does. But you know, we have a lot of people from the old neighborhood, Bailey's Crossroads area, that are talented. They're doing their thing, and why not hook up and do a little family affair, have some fun, you know. Get some special effects, make it real bloody, make it real funny, get some girls in there, you know, throw some, it's a zombie movie,
nice.
So throw some girls in there, yeah, you know, so
nice.
Feel real big, man. And like I said, Rhett's got some contacts in the industry for some bigger names that we're going to talk about getting in on it too, and right now funding for that one is also looking really good, so, you know, again, that's another one that is in pre-production right now. We're still figuring out the logistics, but that one should be good as well.
Nice. Is that going to have more of like an urban feel to it, or more like a Walking Dead rural kind of feel to it?
We're going back and forth on it, and with this one, basically, a few months back, I was up in Philly working on the movie Death House, which is a horror movie that's coming out later on this year. Working on getting that out by October, but Death House is what they call the Expendables of horror. So you're going to get all the guys that played all the horror icons, you know, growing up. So you got Robert Englund, who played Freddy. You got Kane Hodder, who played Jason. All these guys are going to be all in one movie. And when we were up there filming that, we had a great time doing it. I love the special effects. It was my first ever horror movie, so I got to see some things behind the scenes that really piqued my interest as far as different special effects, you know, and I talked to some of the guys up there that were doing them, and it really piqued my interest. So when Rhett came at me with the idea, boom, you know, as soon as I heard what he was talking about, that's the first thing that hit my head. So, you know, we kind of want to make it, you know, a little grimy, a little gritty. That's Rhett's style. That's my style. So, you know, it makes sense to do that.
Nice. Nice. All right, so we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about different experiences you've had on a set. So what's a bad experience or like an interesting kind of experience you've had on a set before?
Let's see here. Bad experience. Luckily, I haven't had too many. And as far as bad things happen on set, you know, I try not to be too sensitive about things. So you get some people where, you know, you're working with a director that you don't know the guy. So some people get offended when the director speaks to him kind of rudely. And and you can't act like that. I mean, he's a director. He's directing people. And so I've kind of had directors that were rude and curt and blunt in what they were saying. But if you don't get offended by it, it's A-okay. You know, if he wants you to walk this way. He wants you to do this. He wants you to do that. And he's just trying to tell you as simply as possible. I've had other directors that were wishy-washy, where they beat around the bush, and you just don't know what the hell you're doing out there, you know?
That's not good.
Not you don't know what you're doing. You just don't know what he's looking for. Whereas the ones that are more curt, more blunt, you know what they're looking for. You know, hey, I want you to walk here, go over there, slam the table, or something like that. So, sometimes people get offended, and I try and just kind of tell me, oh, man, he didn't mean anything by that. He's just a – they're supposed to be jerks. That's what it is. That's what they get paid to do. I had a production back in April. This one was a weird one just because with 99% of productions I've ever done, if you talk to the crew, Vera Chow, who was on the American West, she was giving me hell one day about it because she said – one reason Ben keeps on coming back to Stephen David Entertainment Pictures is because he never complains. Even when he's supposed to complain, he never complains. So I try and just not be a complainer. And so we had this one that we were filming up in Baltimore April the 1st. It was early April. And, I did the role. I was signed on for, I think, 4 days at the beginning. And then I hit it off with the director, real good guy, and he liked how I portrayed the role. So he was talking to me, and he said, we're going to bringing you back for more than what you've originally signed on for. So it was only for 4 days, but they wanted me back for an additional 6 days or something like that, but that wasn't on paper or anything. That was just what the director said. And so that first day, I left set and drove home like normal, and I got home, and when I took my clothes off, I noticed that I had a bunch of bug bites around my waistband area. And I'm like, well, what the hell is this? This is weird. And we're not talking like little things here. We're talking about big welts. And, so I'm like, this is very odd. And, like I said before, with my style, I expect to come up off a set with bumps and bruises, scrapes, cuts, no big deal. You know, that's just all part of doing what I do. And I'll even accept, one bug bite, two bug bites. But I got about a dozen of them from unknown origin. Who knows what bit me? And the only thing that we could figure out was that we didn't know where, I guess, the wardrobe was beforehand or something like that. I don't know if it was washed or what. So I call up wardrobe, and I talked to the wardrobe department, who I'm friends with. I've worked with her before, and that was the whole thing is I liked everybody on the set that day. We had a great shoot. I liked everybody. There was no problems. It's just I came off with these bug bites here. And the production company, I understand liability and everything else. And we're independent contractors, so it's not really their problem after the fact. You know what I mean? It's being non-union. There's really no get back with something like this. So so I came up, they kind of blew me off, which I didn't like. So I kind of pushed the matter a little bit just because I wanted to kind of investigate and figure out what exactly bit me, if it was sort of bed bugs or what, just from being in the hotel industry for so long, I know all about pests and different types of vermin and stuff, and each one you treat somewhat differently. So I just want to know how I should treat myself and what I should do here. And they kind of blew me off. So unfortunately I called up the casting company and canceled the rest of my days just because I wasn't, confident in the response from the production company, just because I don't know. I didn't know if this was an issue just with me or if this was a full production issue or what. You know, you just don't know with something like this. So I canceled my days. Now, at the end of the day, I finally got a hold of the production company, and they took care of me. So I got no issue with the production company at the end of the day. It just took them a couple weeks to kind of get on the ball with this one. And in those couple weeks, I was highly uncomfortable, understand. You know, itching a whole lot, you know, not knowing what these welts are and not knowing what bit me. Do I have Lyme disease? I don't know what the hell is happening right now. So in those couple weeks, it was very uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, you know, they took care of me. It was good to go. It's just one of those things where you can look back and say, man, I was messed up, you know.
Yeah,
you know. Another bad time was it's, like I said before, it's all about chemistry.
Hold on, Ben. We got to.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, man. Sometimes I keep going.
2 minutes. Yeah, we got 2 minutes left. I don't know if we have time. Can you talk in for like 90 seconds, just very, very briefly, kind of sum up how you do so well with your own bookings? You book yourself. So talk about that and just wrap up, and then we'll call tonight.
I'm my own rep. Just keep grinding. You know, that's like Joe Fisher. That's my dude, man. I worked with him just the other day. And that mentality that you have, you just got to be passionate about what you're doing. Passion is big in my life right now. I'm pretty passionate with everything that's going on. Have the passion and be willing to grind. I mean, it's if I go more than a couple days without booking something, some people get disillusioned or they start, you know, kind of looking elsewhere for stuff. And I forced myself to dig harder, you know, talk to people out of town, talk to people in Philly, New York, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, you know, figure out who these people are. Every time you watch a movie, figure out who cast that movie, then find them on Facebook and, you know, just kind of learn more about them and just keep grinding. Don't be afraid to make a fool out of yourself. That's the number one rule with acting. You know, have some principles. I mean, don't go all nutso with it, but, you know, kind of, you know, broaden your horizons, open up your standards, have your foundation, things that you know that you can do, and concentrate on those. And then you kind of break off from that foundation and do a couple little different things. You know, if you want to do some artsy stuff over here, comedy over here, you know, but know your foundation, know what you can do well, and don't complain. Just, you know, go to set, make some jokes, make people laugh, and you'll be invited back. I mean, it's real. Don't be a jerk.
That's basically it.
Every company I work for typically invites me back at some point. And I think that speaks highly on whatever I'm doing on set. I don't really do anything out of the ordinary. I just kind of go there, be myself, work hard, take the character that's on the paper and work that character and just try not to look like you're acting. Act like
man,
you're not acting.
Man, we're going to have to wrap up, man. We could talk all night. I should have booked an hour. And we'll definitely have you on again, man. Well,
yeah, man, we're going to do a part two. It sounds like we're going to do a part two.
We will. We definitely will. Okay, Ben, well, it was great to talk to you, man, and you have a great night.
Hey, thanks, William. Good to talk to you, man. Take care.
All right, folks, make sure you do something for your career every day and break a leg. Good night.
Looking for a show to see this weekend? Look no further than DC Metro Theater Arts. They've got reviews, Q&As with actors, and much, much more. Visit DCMetroTheaterArts.com. That's DCMetroTheaterArts.com.
Under the dark, you pacify me. Hold my breath. Take me down, I won't fight. Beat of my heart, you drum inside me. Somewhere my death makes the sound no one can find.